Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Remember, Memorial Day weekend coming up next weekend. Stock up now. It'll be a beautiful weekend, a few days off. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for a play-by-play call of the day. Deep into the morning they went in Raleigh, Florida finally wins it.
Eric Stahl with the puck, longtime Hurricane, blocked off in front, and it is up by Lundberg, he scores!
White was the player in front there that does clip skates with Anderson. There is some contact there. Let's see what they say.
After review, there was goaltender interference.
Sam Bennett keeps it in out front. Kachuk is shot. He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, the overtime winner! The Panthers take game one!
Let's give a lot of credit. First of all, Kenny Albert and Keith Jones, by the way, were the on the TV call of the goal that was nullified. But Doug Plagans is the play-by-play voice of the Florida Panthers that you just heard. He works alone. He did all of the game plus four overtimes last night. So, Doug, congrats to you. All right. So there we are. Guess we're still waiting for the king, correct?
We are. I literally just talked to him 2 hours ago, and he said he would be calling from Studio 22.
That's fine. That's fine. But he may be busy for all we know.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, he may have had somebody come in late that needed something. You know, we don't know that. Boy, four overtimes. Like I said, I made it to the end of the second overtime. And I had, you know, like I said, it was car inspection day, and I set up an 8 o'clock appointment. I said, I got to go to sleep. And to be honest with you, I was really nodding off. Like, okay, hanging in there, watching it. It was interesting because it was one of those rare overtimes that I watched, especially the second overtime, where it didn't seem, you knew any shot could win it, but there was like no excitement to it. There weren't a lot of great saves, a lot of like, whoa, moments. Like, nah, I think one shot hit the post. It was just so much defense. There's just so much defense in that game last night. That, no offense, it doesn't lead to exciting hockey when you have that much defense. But I did not see the third or the fourth overtime last night. I got through two. This was after I was done watching. I did watch the Lakers and the Nuggets for a period of time, was flipping back and forth. But finally, the end of the second overtime, I called it a day. I was like, that's it, we're done. You watched none of it. Thus, there were no complaints about it last night. You didn't watch. Nuggets and Lakers, no complaints from you. You didn't watch.
Well, I will say this about the goal being nullified in the first overtime. We should have avoided the next three overtimes because that was a terrible call, in my opinion, for goaltender interference. The guy was pushed into the goalie, and then the goalie tripped himself. And even that, there wasn't that much contact, so I didn't understand the call. So I think it should have ended in the first overtime.
Because he was in the blue paint, that's why. He shouldn't have been in the blue paint to start with. That's the issue. Doesn't get called that often, but yeah. Okay, let's bring in the King, who joins us from Studio 22.
I watched the whole game.
You stayed up. Nice.
Wow.
What time was it?
Excuse me. Oh, sorry.
What time was it when the game ended last night?
Like 2:05.
Wow.
Dude.
And it was like seconds from going into another 20-minute, you know, in between periods, and I was like, "Oh my God!" And I was rooting for Carolina, and then when they scored, I was like, "Thank God!" Go home.
It's over. It's
like, just end this stupid thing. The goaltending was incredible, but what was happening was they were running like 20-second shifts.
Yes.
You know, so they could really get nothing going, you know, significantly because they were so tired. So now the goalies could really see the puck, you know. And it was, Tkachuk's shot was incredible. Great. Yeah. That guy's a great hockey player. So, but.
Well, the longest game, okay, was 5 overtimes, May 4th, 2000. Flyers and Penguins. The Flyers, I think, I believe it's the last game the Flyers ever won, right?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
2-1 victory, right? Which was phenomenal. And I mean, Brian Boucher was the Flyers goalie. Ron Tugnutt was the Penguins goalie. They played this entire time, and they gave up between them 3 goals. And Keith Primeau won it. All right? And unbelievable.
That's right.
That's the longest. 5 overtimes. There was nobody watching.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying there was nobody watching at the end.
Yeah. Well, a telling statistic that I mean, the goaltender for Florida, is incredibly good. He is why they are there. And
Bobrovsky, yep. He was good at Columbus. I mean, when they beat Tampa Bay, when Tampa Bay won the President's Trophy, he was the Columbus goalie.
He faced, at one point, it was 42 shots on net for the Hurricanes and like 24 shots on net for Florida. I mean, it was almost double the amount of shots that he had taken. By the end of the game, it was like 62 shots to 59 shots. Yeah. So the point I'm making is the longer the game went, the more shots Florida was getting. And they were putting the pressure on. And
when I was watching, Florida was dominating. When I watched, Florida was the better team in the first and second overtime. I couldn't get past this. But when I watched them, I thought Florida was the better team.
Yeah, they were getting more and more shots, and they caught up. I mean, by the end of the game, I think it was, and I may be off by a couple shots here, but it was like 59 shots on net by Florida and 62 by the Hurricanes. But in that period, from 42 to 24, Florida dominated. They caught up. There was almost 2-1 in the amount of shots that they were taking. And the goalie for the Hurricanes was incredible. I mean,
Frederick Anderson.
You hated to see anybody lose. I mean, you just felt for the guy. Tkachuk's shot was just, nobody could have stopped that. He was just came out of nowhere. And that's how Florida plays, because I watched the entire Bruins 7 games. And, I mean, he he saved them. I mean, Marshawn had a breakaway. Yeah. The Bruins were up 3-2. And Marshawn had a breakaway, which would have given them the Bruins a victory. And he just stuck his skate out and caught the puck. And that, and everyone said, oh, well, Marshawn should have lifted it or whatever. But there was only like 8 seconds left in the game. So when Marshawn got the puck, he took off down right down the center, and he knew he was running out of time. So he didn't have a lot of time to think and dunk. He just had to let it go. And sure, he caught it just with his skate. And that, outside of that, the Bruins would have won 4-2, and we wouldn't be talking about this now. But that's how good that goaltender has brought them this far, and Florida is going to be a tough out.
I think they're going to win the cup. I really do.
Yeah, they are a good, good, solid hockey team. Good defensive team. But, and when you got a goaltender who's hot like that, man, you ride him. So
63 saves for Bobrovsky. 34 of them were in overtime. And the only, and the two goals for Carolina were both power play goals. So they did not score at all 5-on-5.
No. And Florida's good. I mean, the Bruins are really, really good. And they beat them. Beat them fair and square. So...
Well, and people forget Florida actually was the team that won the President's Trophy last year. They actually had the best record in the league. So they're not that far removed from it, but they've added in Tkachuk, and he's made a huge difference on this team. I mean, it took them a while because they hosted the All-Star game this year. And in hosting the All-Star game this year, they were not going to be in the playoffs. And that was the issue. And they were able to get hot down the stretch.
Well, it's not unusual in the NHL. Like, I want to strangle the people at WEEI in Boston. They're so bad at what they do. It's not unusual. The Montreal Canadiens barely made it like 2-3 years ago, and they went to the finals.
Right.
They knocked Colorado off. They were... You know, that's just the way it goes, and it's not necessarily the best team all year is really built to play playoff hockey, you know, because they play each other a lot, and now they know everybody's moves, so they know how to get under a guy's skin, you know, they know how to take you out of your game, but... And it's too bad for the teams that play well all year and get knocked out right away, because then they got to face the press and, you know, what happened and all this. Nothing happened. It's the best sport on the planet. I'm sorry. You came really close to having two teams play for the Western Division Championship and that are new teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Seattle, just unheard of in any other sport, you know. Unheard of. You wouldn't see it in baseball. You wouldn't see it in football. You wouldn't see it anywhere. But in hockey, they know how to do it. And that, and I just feel privileged right now. We're talking to the GOAT, the Hall of Famer, Steve Jones.
That's right. Congratulations.
I don't know if you told your audience, but...
Typical of Matt that I... Have I said anything about it?
No.
Okay, then I will, because that's my job. Steve has been put into his hometown, Enfield, Connecticut, Athletic Hall of Fame. And he'll be going in September. And part of the Enfield Hall of Fame has some big names in it, like Peter King from Sports Illustrated, Craig Janney, hockey player. It's a pretty impressive list of people that he's joining. So.
Bingo!
Very proud of him. Have you heard the date yet?
Yeah, it's September 15th.
Can you make it?
As of right now, no. And I've because we're playing, Penn State's playing at Illinois the next day. If it had been the 22nd, I was home free because that's Penn State's got a home game. But I've looked into flights. Flights are not good. And
I'll pay for the flights to get you and Jack out there. I'll pay right. for it.
But today I asked Roger Corey, because Roger is a pilot himself. I said, and I didn't tell Roger why. I said, I've just got something in Connecticut on the 15th. I said, and I asked about a charter. And so he said he's going to look into it for me and see. So I'll figure
Can we get Jack to go?
I don't know. I haven't even told him yet.
I will pay for the whole freaking thing. Well, I don't know about charter flights. What are we talking about here?
Well, no. I'll do anything
so I don't have to get up there and give a speech. It's all about me, man.
I was about to say, yeah, this is all about the king just being stage fright. This is not about Steve getting there and getting back. There we go now. All right.
But I've, you know, Raj will get back to me and, you know,
yeah, we'll get you there. We'll find a way to get you there. You got to be there. You can't let this go by, you know?
I know. Well, I'm trying not to, but it's, you know, if they move it back a week, I'd be in great shape.
Yeah, well, I knew in the beginning when this process started that this would be an issue. That's when they have it.
And well, they knew. When I was called about it, they knew it was an issue, too. They said, we don't know with your schedule if you can be there. I said, well, we'll see what we can do. Headlines coming up in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, headlines.
King, why don't you get us started?
Okay. Will Ryan Day lose his job as head coach of Ohio State? That is stunning to me that they would be looking at replacing him. So,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean,
someone's got to win and someone's got to lose. But when you compile a record of like 45-6, you don't lose your job. And if you're going to replace him, who are you going to replace him with?
Right.
I mean, they're good every year, and who wants to play them? And the guy took over, and he did a really good job, and it seems like he cleaned it up, too, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I was just stunned when I saw the headline that people want his job. I don't get that. So
that is pretty bad. Steve, what do you got?
Domingo Herman signs contract to promote rosin.
There you go. He's the perfect spokesman now because he still doesn't get it.
Is that the Yankee pitcher?
Yes, that keeps getting busted and now he's finally thrown out in Toronto this past week.
Yeah, he had the crap all over his leg.
Yes, everything.
I didn't do it. What's all over your pants, man?
Yeah, he stinks.
There's nothing black out here in the field.
might as well make it a season-long suspension because I don't want him back. He stinks.
Yeah, I agree.
He speaks highly of you.
You know? And I don't think they'll stand for it. Baseball did a good job changing the rules. And the players went along with it. And the games move right along. It's good. I like it.
There you go.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my headline Yankee related. I'm surprised this wasn't a headline in the New York Post today. After Aaron Hicks went 3-for-4 yesterday, his first multi-hit game of the season, hell has truly frozen over. That was amazing to see him actually go 3-for-4, get an RBI or two last night. I couldn't believe it.
Hey, blind squirrels find acorns too, brother.
I can't, between with the Stanley Cup and I love the hockey playoffs, I can't watch the Yankees end-to-end yet. And every time I turn them on, he's in an 0-for-21 slump. I'm like, God, he's a professional hitter. I mean, if I go 0-for-21, we're not here right now.
Tell me about it.
It's over.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. That's a bad, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I know, like, you know, Matt's all like Volpe this and Volpe that. He's hitting 212.
That's kind of the state right now. But he still hit a couple homers. That's where we are right now.
Find a gear.
Such a long season.
It is a long season. Long, long season. Oh, my goodness.
My little headline's a sad one here. Jimmy Brown passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
R.I.P. to a great.
A lot of people passed. I mean, he was 87, but so what? He still passed away. You know, a lot of famous athletes and celebrities have passed away in the past couple of years. So.
Yeah. But you know what? Father Time wins every time.
Sports Talk, where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. And start stocking up for Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A good friend, Jerry Dulac, joins us on the show. My friend, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, thanks. Always good to be with you, and I hope you're doing well, my friend.
I'm doing very well. Oak Hill is about 5 miles from my son's house. So
there you go. Perfect.
I know.
I'm surprised you're not there.
Yeah, I know. It was something I considered, but there's something with the Big Ten I'm doing next week, so I have to go to Indiana, so there's a lot of travel involved, and that's what entered into it. But when I look at the PGA, something I don't hear, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, when the U.S. Open is played, a recurring theme to me is always course setup. I never hear that about the PGA, and I haven't heard it about this place. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're right, and the reason why is Kerry Haig. It's funny. I was just discussing that last night, Steve, on my weekly golf show. And you hear about it. You don't hear a lot about it at the Masters. You always hear about it at the U.S. Open. And the British Open, I think, is they're very cognizant of the weather possibilities there. But the PGA, they go to some of the same venues where the U.S. Open has been. And even though the rough is up and it's thick, I mean, it's not unfair. It's just brutal. But the course setup is very fair, and you're right. But that's the reason why is Kerry Haig. He's been setting up the PGA courses for years, and he does as good a job as anybody. The golfers will tell you the same thing. And it's true again this week, even though it is playing very difficult. You know, the par fours are, the par fives are playing over par. Where do you see that on the PGA Tour? It's just difficult out there. And I think what's leading right now, Corey Connors just got to six. I think right now six will win. I really don't think it's going to get any. I don't know that it's going to get any lower. I certainly would be shocked if it got to double digits. I tell you what, if somebody says, "Look, I'll take six at the end of the week," I'll run to the clubhouse and take it.
To me, a great story is the fact that they let PGA professionals, teaching professionals, qualify for it. Michael Block is at even par through two rounds at 140. And I thought he did a marvelous interview yesterday while playing with Scott Van Pelt. When you see a teaching professional like that doing this, because you're around teaching professionals all the time, Jerry, what do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I think it's very impressive. In his particular, just to be able to do that, to be able to make it is one thing. To be able to even find yourself on the leaderboard, making the cut and finding yourself on the leaderboard is a whole nother story. And the fact that he is where he is, I think he's probably still in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. But regardless, he's hunting right around that top 10. And, the guy's 46. It's not like he's a young buck, but by the same token, I think this is his fifth PGA, if I'm not mistaken. So he has some experience there. And, you know, you have to have the right attitude. You know, all those guys are going to be nervous, and when they're playing nervous, the club professionals, it's probably going to show in their play. But listening to him, listening to his approach, you know, he figures, hey, this might be the last time I'm here. You know, he's not going in it to win it, but he's just going out there to play well and enjoy himself. And so I think he has the right attitude. And the fact that, like I said, you know, he's an older guy, a tour player who's 46, you know, for the most part, isn't given much of a chance to contend anymore, and yet there he is. Now, do I expect him to be around on the weekend? No. But the mere fact that he is there right now, I think, just shows you the quality of a player that he is at his level to be able to go in to a major championship and play as well as he has.
If we had had this discussion Monday or Tuesday and we started talking about contenders, you would have mentioned several, but one of them you would have mentioned is Scottie Scheffler, who is right there in the thick of it right now. When you watch him play, what are the ingredients that allow him to be terrific, and not only that, terrific on difficult courses?
Well, a couple things. I will tell you, I really went out on a limb. He was my pre-tournament pick. But the reason why is he is just always there. He is so good in so many different facets, and that's the strength of his game. He is good at everything he does. He has a wonderful demeanor out there as well. You know, he's always calm. Look, I know he's churning inside. I'm sure he's nervous and grinding. But you don't see him get upset. You don't see him... you get the soft fist pump, you know, the clench of the fist, and he doesn't have a weakness. I think his worst finish this year, Steve, is tied for 12th. He is always there. He is always playing well, and especially in the big events. And that's why I thought, you know, John Rahm won the Masters. I thought Scottie Scheffler is going to win the PGA. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. Corey Connors, you know, he's a guy, I'm not going to sit there and say I'm not surprised he's leading. Again, it's only 36 holes, and he still has to finish. But, you know, he's a guy who is very accurate off the tee, and that's what you need here. I saw a stat yesterday that since in the last 2 years, I think he leads the entire tour in strokes gained overall. And he's a really solid player. I love his swing. I love his rhythm and his tempo. And, he'll hang around. I don't see him shooting himself out of the event. I'm not surprised with the way the golf course is playing that he's up there near the top of the leaderboard.
Has not had a bogey on today's round, which has really bolstered his case at the top of the leaderboard. But it should be pointed out, because he started on the back nine, he still hasn't played six yet. And six is one of the toughest holes in championship golf.
You know, Corey, we're talking about Scottie Scheffler to show you not only how consistently good he is week in and week out. You know, he didn't make a bogey, until a couple holes ago. Granted, it's only the second round. But, you know, he was the last player to not make a bogey. And when I look at major championships and when I am there, Steve, one of the things that when I start looking at who's going to be there on the final day or on the weekend, I see who's making the fewest bogeys. And that's usually a good indicator who's going to be near the top or challenging on Sunday. You stay away from the big numbers. And when you're making few bogeys in a major championship, that usually is going to bode well for you. And there's Scottie Scheffler being the last player to make a bogey after however many holes it was for him in the second round.
I think no surprise, because now it's the second major of the year. Less live talk this time, more golf talk. But Bryson DeChambeau is the one that is carrying that flag at the moment. Now, he started out the day at 4 under. He's now 1 under for the tournament. Is it interesting to suddenly feel like you're catching up with these guys, because they may be playing in live, but they're almost in the witness protection program as they do it?
You know, and you're right, Steve, and I think that's what makes their appearance in the major all the more noteworthy. Not that they're back in the spotlight, but I think you have... Look, when you tune in to watch a major, you want the best players in the world. You don't care where they're playing. You right. want the best players. You know, you go back to the old days, you know, when Faldo was playing in Europe and Lee Westwood was playing in Europe and Seve was playing in Europe. But when they got to a major, boy, you know, look out for those guys. They weren't playing the PGA Tour the way international players play it now. You know, the DP right. World Tour is all but dead because all those British players are playing over in the U.S. Tour because of the money being offered. So, but that wasn't the case years ago. So it didn't matter where you played. It's just when you got to the majors, you wanted the best players. And you want Dustin Johnson, and you want Brooks Koepka, and you want Bryson DeChambeau, even though he has not played well this year. I think his 66 yesterday was a little bit of an aberration. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect him to stay there. Did I want to see him stay there? Yeah, you know, I said this at the Masters. I was hoping one of the live players would be in contention even if they won, especially on Sunday at Augusta, and here three of the top six were live players. And I felt the same way when DeChambeau got off to a good start, only because I think the people, and I think they're starting to, I think the Masters helped this, Steve. I think it made people understand that, okay, yeah, you don't have to like that tour. You can call those people, those players, traitors or whatever you want to call them. But when you're talking about the best players in the world, you want them in a major tournament, no matter where they are playing. And that goes, and that holds true whether it's Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau or Brooks Koepka or Joaquin Niemann or Cam Smith. You want the best players in the world in a major. And so I think a lot of that acrimony that exists between the two tours, I think it's quieted down now. It started it. The Masters started it, and I think this helps it some more.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I mean, you and I go back to when the AFL was in existence. And yes, Joe Namath and the Jets were able to beat the Colts. But now you felt when they merged, they finally had all the best players playing against one another. And Jerry, you and I both know that's the only thing the fan cares about. They don't care
that's
about
right.
the politics of it.
Yeah, the disservice that is going on here is to the fans if this... Not right now, because those players are still qualified. But if they don't get those world ranking points, and some of those guys start to slip through the cracks because they're not otherwise qualified. Now, with the stars, it's still going to take a couple years because they have exemptions into the majors through other areas as past champions and past major champions. Right. But eventually, if this continues for a couple more years and there are no world ranking points, that's what's going to happen. And the people... The people who are going to, quote, pay the most for it are the fans who aren't going to see those players. And you're right. They don't care. Oh, they probably have opinions about this tour or that tour, what the PGA Tour is doing, what the LIV Tour represents. But, yeah, they want to see the best players in the world. And, you know, when I go backward, it's just over a year. Well, it's about a year that this all started to unfold. I don't know what Jay Monahan was supposed to do at the time, Steve. But whatever it was that he could have done or was supposed to do, I think he's mishandled the whole situation.
I agree.
And his reaction to live to just increase the purses, let the rich get richer, almost divide the PGA Tour, effectively crush the DP World Tour, the European Tour, because those players are now jumping over here, the top players, to play in America on the PGA Tour. And then to banish those players, you know, lifetime suspensions, which won't hold up in a court of law eventually. But that's where he mishandled it. I thought he could have avoided that. But from the very beginning, it's been mishandled. Again, I don't know what he was supposed to do initially, but I think the whole thing has been mishandled, and it's too bad for golf.
I think one of the worst things that you can do in any, quote, crisis, and for golf, I'm sure from his point of view is a crisis, is panic. And
right.
I think, in my opinion, he panicked, and panic usually leads to bad solutions. That's just me.
There's no question, Steve. He overreacted. And even by coming up with these elevated events, and now you're asking the sponsors to double their contributions to the tour. And in the process, you're honking off the other sponsors who aren't getting elevated events, and now their tournament, with the, where they stuck around for years and years and years, now they're getting a Corn Ferry Tour field because the elevated events are attracting the top players, and the top players, you know, aren't, you know, for the most part, 90-95% of them aren't going to play in these non-designated events. So you're causing you're causing this acrimony with the very people who have supported you. And so, you know, there's a lot of downside to all this. The upside, of course, is the money the players are playing for. But, you know, at some point the sponsor is going to say, hey, that's enough. You know, we've paid a lot of money. We've paid a lot of money for years. Now you want me to double my support. And then maybe in another year or two, I'm going to be a non-designated event. I think they're just asking for trouble.
No, you're playing with fire when you do that, and you're playing with loyalty. Don't play with loyalty.
Right.
It has to be a two-way street. I thought it was interesting that Rory McIlroy bypassed all this, and I'm wondering, because I've only talked to him a few times. You've talked to him exponentially more than I ever have. I'm wondering if he looked around and said, you know what, I need to just concentrate on my game. I can't keep going out there every week and getting distracted by this.
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, Rory, and to his credit, has, you know, accepted, taken on the role of the spokesperson for golf, not just the tour, but for golf in general.
Yep.
And I applaud him for that. But, I mean, there comes a time when, you know, Nick Faldo wasn't going to be that. Tiger wasn't going to be that. You know, you're talking about the greatest players. You know, Jack in his later day, yeah. But when you're playing, I think Rory gets a little too caught up in that. I mean, only because he's trying to be gracious. He feels you don't have to be the way Faldo was when he played. You didn't have to be the way Ben Hogan was when he played. You can still be accommodating and nice and still be a great player. And he has actually proved that. But while he has slumped in these majors, I think he has to change his approach. And when he was at Augusta and he did a live interview there, you know, with the CBS people, I was shocked because, he's trying, you know, so much pressure is on him, so much attention is on him to win that Masters and to complete the Grand Slam. And to do an interview during the tournament while you're playing, just shocked me because, to me, that's what he has to shut out and focus on what he's doing and tune out the outside noise.
Well said. Jerry, always a pleasure. Always enjoy this. Anytime I spend with you, I enjoy. Thank you so much, my friend.
Well, Steve, you are welcome, and it's always good chatting with you, and I'll look forward to our next conversation.
You got it. Jerry Dulac, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and has the longest-running radio golf show in America. Fabulous. We'll wrap up the week in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Wrapping up the week, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. A Memorial Day weekend coming up next week. How about that? We are extending here. We're getting to late May. about getting closer and closer to making the turn to June. And stock up at Brewers Outlet now. And you're talking about imports and domestics, microbrews and wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and out every day. Slushies, pickle bar, barrels, dills, everything at Brewers Outlet. We're making the turn to summer now. We're not quite to summer yet. I'm in Elysburg tomorrow. I will be at Knoebels. I believe the event starts at 10:30. I think something like that. So I will be there tomorrow morning. Matt will be on a roller coaster. They asked Matt why he's going to be on a roller coaster when I'm speaking. He says, because every day in the show feels that way. I don't know what that means, Matt.
I love the Phoenix. It's my favorite.
I have never been to Knoebels. Never have been.
Really?
Nope.
Well, I'm glad you're going to at least change that.
Yeah. Never have been there. Heard a lot of great things about it, but just have never been there before.
I grew up at Knoebels.
Oh, did you really?
I did. I had many a class trip. I had many a class trip there growing up.
Okay. Hmm. Well, there you go. Yeah, I think they wanted me there at like 10 tomorrow morning. I said, sure, I'll be there. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. They asked if I wanted to go on all the rides. I was like, well, I don't know. It was like today they did something where you can rappel down Beaver Stadium to benefit the United Way. And several of the football players were there. And Keandre Lambert-Smith was there. And I looked over at Keandre and I said, Key, I said, you're going to go up there? And everybody started laughing because he's afraid of heights. He says, I can't even get on roller coasters. So then I asked Olu if he was going to go up there. He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, if you did, I'd call James.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.